Fred Hebert is sometimes called the real Indiana Jones. He's an archaeologist who works with National Geographic. He's traveled all over the world, Afghanistan, Egypt, to study and sometimes discover treasures, ancient buildings. He just spent a year, and I'm talking just weeks ago, finished up a year in the tomb of Jesus. This is the site where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is. It's just down the hill from Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. It was first built in 335 AD. And deep within this cave, this tomb hewn out of solid rock is the location where Jesus was buried. Because so many Christian traditions have a stake there, it took 50 years for them to get permission to do their renovation there. 50 years. They wanted to see what they might discover in that tomb, and at the same time, renovate and clean up a nearly 1,700-year mess. Hebert said that it is the darkest, dingiest place he had ever worked. This is a person who's been all over the world in various tombs. And even though it is the dirtiest and most lightless place he had ever worked, he was tasked with spending a year there to learn and to clean. 2,000 years earlier, early that Sunday morning, it also took courage for those women, the Marys, to go see the tomb where the body of Jesus once lay. Cemeteries and tombs can be frightening places. And even more than that, the tomb represented the power of death itself for the believer at that time. The Hebrew scriptures describe the grave, Hebrew Sheol, as an open mouth, this rocky opening leading to an appetite for the living. The iron bars they would sometimes put over the mouth of the tomb in scripture is described as teeth. The grave has an insatiable appetite for the living. And its open mouth is a constant reminder that death calls out to us all. The tomb represents a universal fear that we have as human beings, death. It threatens us all. And at times, it seems that death has a cruel appetite for the living, and that it has a merciless fate. For those of us who remain, we grieve our losses, but at the same time thankful for the time God gives us with those we love. And at the same time, we realize just how brief and precious life is. It is with loving devotion for Jesus that the women go to his tomb that day. Just before Hebert, the so-called Indiana Jones I was talking about earlier, just before he spent a year in the tomb of Jesus, he spent 3 months in the tomb of another king, King Tutankhamun, in the Valley of Kings in Egypt, also known as King Tut. He said, "You're by yourself in a 3,000-year-old grave. You're communing with the past. And it is that way with all the ancient burial sites. It's except," he says, "for the tomb of Jesus." The only thing they discovered there in their year underground was unstable ground beneath and an even more ancient quarry that they cut rock out in stone, dating back even hundreds of years, even thousands of years before Jerusalem was first built. One of the few stipulations of their work there was that the grave, this tomb, would remain open to the public and that the church continue its worship. There is a monastery there with monks who pray and sing and chant Gregorian tones multiple times a day. Hebert said, this is a scientist speaking, that it was an incredible experience. It is an amazing soundscape, he says. The acoustics wonderfully carry the songs of the faithful. He said it was one of the most extraordinary experiences of his life as an archaeologist. Even though the tomb of Jesus is one of the darkest, dingiest places he has ever visited, he said it was the liveliest. He said at Jesus' tomb, you commune with the past, but at the same time, the faithful are everywhere. Their voices are praying everywhere. Monks are chanting, their voices reverberating off the walls and echoing. The scent of candles is everywhere. It is, he says, a living space. And one of the most unique experiences of his life. It took them a year to restore the charred soot walls back to their crystal and white marble. Hebert said he never saw so many black-robed patriarchs smiling so big. He went to a place of burial and found one of the liveliest places on earth. That is the Easter message. The angel says, do not be afraid. Don't let death paralyze you. You may be in the darkest, dingiest place of your life. I know you're looking for Jesus, the one who's crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, the angel says. And the women respond to the other disciples, he has been raised from the dead indeed. They quickly leave, still with fear, but now reverential fear and joy, to tell others. Do you see what Jesus did? He transformed a place of death into one of resurrection and promise of new life. He took a symbol which was once a gaping mouth, an appetite for the living, no longer a symbol of death now, and wanting us for breakfast. This open and empty tomb is now a voice of praise. It cries out, he is not here, he is risen. It is a mouth for song and praise to reverberate, not just in the catacombs of Jerusalem, but on every echoing wall throughout the world. It is the liveliest place on earth because that is where Jesus rose, and in him we have the promise of the resurrection to eternal life and the assurance of forgiveness in life with him. Awake, my heart, with gladness. See what today is done. Now, after gloom and sadness, come forth the glorious sun. My Savior there was laid, where our bed must be made. When the realms of light, our spirit wings its flight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.